First of all, thank you very much for being here, and apologize for this probable misunderstanding. I promised you that we need to find a better room. It would be fantastic if for you that are streaming, because it is possible now to stream directly this presentation, please send me an SMS for you, so that I know who is following up. This is the only thing that it doesn't work as good as previously, since we do not take that now up in Blackboard. We are taking the whole thing together through the ordinary channels. And by ordinary channels, probably some of you are not familiar with that. So I'm going to send you the link where you can find these video recordings, at Jøvik. We have a special room for that, in the net, of course. So I'm going to send that to you, so that you can both stream and also follow the video recordings. So that was the first thing I would like to say. The other thing I would like to say is, again, this big apologies. And I would. There are two things that we left last time. That was before the last presentation of our good friend Hans Christian. I hope that you enjoyed his presentation last time, and we used quite a lot of time to expand and flesh out the work that we have to do, given now the 1st of October and also the next inlevering the next assignment date, and also the final plan. What you see here is, I'm sure that you are very familiar to that. It's not the first time you are looking at it, but just for taking some what is called again in Norwegian realitetsforankring, that's a reality check. We are here, and we have a lot of ground to cover still, and I am not even on the beginning of the book that I also have with. I forgot it on my office, typically. The other book, not this one. This is what I mean. How many of you found the other book? You have it? Is it possible to find it? Yeah. Not this one, the other one.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Look, this is the practical research book. It's a kind of as a cookbook. It's not the start or the end. It's wherever you open it, it's full of interesting stuff. Tips, it's not. Hi, nice. Very good. I was hoping to get some SMS from you.
Yeah.
That's perfect. This means that we have to move fast. At the same time, today it's a very particular day. I have to meet at 2 o'clock in a very important appointment for one of your fellow students, and it is important to be there. So we will work 1 hour with exercise, and then I will come back. So we will have four hours today. Until 17:00. Remember, what I would like, because thanks to Konstantin, he came to my office for asking some few questions, and he reminded me, of course, that you have to deliver something here, and that this part, I mean this, on Monday 9th, you will have a short, not short actually, more than short, between 1 and 2 hours, presentation of how are you going to use EndNote. I hope that most of you are familiar with what EndNote is. If not, that is excellent, because then you have to learn that. And also the library searches that we, as a master student, this is fundamental, that you learn how to search the library. I know some of you have done that probably in the late pre-graduate level of your study programs, but still, it is fruitful to refresh that on our minds. So we are going to have 1 to between 1 and 2 hours from library,
And we're going to have, of course, also Hans Christian, so that we go through there. I have here again still handed out. He rightly pointed that it must be handed in, not handed out. That's for sure. So, and this is why I'm just going to say some few words about one important thing which is not here, and this is how are you going to present your references, the citations. I think that we need to have some few minutes about that. Remember, this is not only theoretical, philosophical things that we are going to cover in this course. We are covering everything from the lofty philosophical ideas to very practical things. And one of the practical things is that you have, this has to sit, you have to have the right way of referencing. This is a fundamental skill. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to move quite fast on the quantitative and qualitative research methods, and we're going to have some few examples, hopefully. You know, there are, again, many of these things you already know very well. There's no doubt about that. But still, it is important to reflect on the possible differences and where we can use the different approaches. And what I'm not going to talk about, but Hans Christian is going to talk about, more about that, is, you know, there is also the typical divide or the division that Hans Christian talked about in his presentations, his lectures, is also, has something to do also with the different approaches between quantitative and qualitative research. So I'm a predominantly quantitative researcher, and I perfectly feel more familiar with, let's say, the empirical approaches, sometimes also from the data mining perspective, compared to necessarily have the theory-driven approach. But still, I obviously understand that you need to have a theoretical background in order to make sense with your data. We're going to talk about more about that. So it's not only, we're going to talk about the difference between quantitative and qualitative research as such, but also in relation to theoretical background and perspective as well. And I remind then after that, there will be very much about quantitative approaches after that. And I hope that you like that. And that's irrespective whether you are going to you are going to have in your master thesis, for instance, you are going to choose a quantitative or qualitative approach, you need to have more quantitative background. I know that some of you have had that. I'm talking particularly about the students of economics. Students of within engineering, I am a little bit uncertain about that. It varies from study program to study program. Some of the engineers never had any statistics, actually. Some, they had a little bit more theoretical, stochastic questions and these kind of things, which is not the thing that I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about quite empirical, concrete quantitative research methods. So it's not. I'm not going to talk theoretically about statistical moment modes, for instance, the second, third, fourth, fifth mode, and whatever you can find in the theoretical statistics. It's not about that at all. Questions about that? This is some obvious things. Antenna provides enormous possibilities, articles, papers, and databases. If you go in the INSIDA, so I'm sure that you have checked that. I would like to point to your attention the following. Within the databases, there are many databases as well. Not many databases that are interesting for us. Now, I'm taking the hat, obviously, of sustainable manufacturing student. I am, as you are, student of sustainable manufacturing. What kind of data can I find there? It depends on the question that you are asking. If you are talking about, let's say, economic data about the development of manufacturing, plenty, then this is a very interesting database. This is a private, in the sense that it is not open open source database. It's not at all. And it's called iLibrary. It's probably the best developer database that you can find, and it is OECD who is responsible for that, and it's very expensive. So this we have access to that as NTNU students. Check that, and you will find many different and interesting data at the country level and also at the sectoral level. And remember, sectors, so there is in the modern statistical, we call it nomenclature. This is the nomenclature that divides, let's say, the entire business sector into several sectors, branches in Norwegian, economic sectors I'm talking about, construction, manufacturing, services, and so on. These are, I would like to mention to you some important nodes here. NAIS is the standard of nomenclature that we are talking about. This is actually the European standard, which is very close to also the global standard. Americans are using another standard, but it's very close the one to the other. And based on this NAIS, then you can find quite a lot of data in XLibrary on many different things, among others, let's say the added value in the sector of manufacturing, employment. You can find those exports, imports from country to country within the sectors that we're talking about. These are typical economic data approach, but I'm sure that when you are interested, particularly in understanding the, let's say, you want to start with preliminary market analysis within manufacturing in a particular area, that would be interesting data to search. Of course, with many other sources. Remember, now I spoke just for one small possibility, and it takes quite a lot of time to get familiar with this kind of databases. So I hope that I'm not now trying to convince you for something that it's not 100% relevant for you, but you have to know that you can find this kind of data if you want. If there is something that you want to ask, just ask me about that, and we will together try to find the exact data source and database source that you are interested in. Particularly when it comes to these kind of data, there are other not only OECD, IMF. You are familiar with IMF, huh? What is IMF, please? One of you. Yes?
The International Monetary Fund.
The International Monetary Fund, yes, thank you very much. It's of course, they have a huge database about financial analysis and financial data. We have also the World Bank. So whatever it goes or flows, international trade, then there are huge databases out there. Also, when it comes to types of products and exports and imports from and into what kind of countries, not only sectors, but type of products. And this is it becomes very interesting for us as well. Huh? So, and then on that basis, then it is possible, of course, to use economic analysis to only work actually on secondary data, not even necessary to generate your own data if the analysis is as general as at the sectoral level, at the product level, or at the regional level, or at the country level. Huh? So be aware of the fact sustainable manufacturing student is many different things. It is exactly the point you have to find out. What are you going to write about your master's thesis? After that, you are going to find many relevant master theses, many PhDs. I would recommend one of them a little bit later on. And of course, also newspapers. My recommendation, I'm going to put out in our blackboard several articles from economists. One of them, the last number of economists, the last one meaning not that one, but the last week, it contained two relevant articles for us. Very interesting. 5 minutes, you read it, then you are informed, you are updated. When it comes to particular sources within sustainable manufacturing, I have to discuss that with Halvor, because there are also these kind of articles here as well. But we need to agree about the set of periodicals, magazines, that we need to list. I think that you have to have at least a list of what kind of magazines it could be interesting for you to have. There are plenty. If you go to the building B at the third floor, you are going to find several newspapers, which are only newspapers for the Norwegian manufacturing or for the Norwegian tree manufacturing sector. So it depends on your interests. But the oil, obviously, there are many oil oriented not even journals. I do not talk about scientific journals now, mind you. I'm talking about ordinary, plain periodicals. The journals are here, what I call articles, papers, and so on. Yeah. So I talked quite warmly about the possibilities that we have in the NU. Many other universities, of course, have the same possibilities. Delft University is equivalent to that. Hundreds of thousands of books if you want to have access to that. Including that one. It was possible for me to upload this book just because it is possible for you to have it, to have free access to that through our Insider. Otherwise, it wouldn't be possible for me to upload that. It would have been illegal, actually. Okay, so the second part is that I'm going to go very quickly through that. We need to think about, first of all, you have to know that there are three types of styles of making a reference. You want a question, did Hans Christian talk about the ethics, research ethics? Did he touch upon the issue of research ethics? No, because we were supposed to talk about here, wasn't it? Here. So if not, we are supposed. This is an important part of this course as well. So one day I'm gonna to use at least 1 hour about that. But the whole point is that within the ethical approach of doing research, you have to be very clear that what you read and what you borrow from where. If not, then mind you, if you're using a citation, please let's take a breath and let me say that very slowly. If you have even one a citation from a book or from an article without be clear that this is a citation that you are using for several for a certain purpose, and we find that, we are forced to disqualify you on that basis. This is master thesis, this is also the exercise that you are going to deliver, or the paper that you're going to deliver to us or to anyone. Please, it is absolutely fundamental. It is, you know, as you, the same goes to us. If I deliver a paper which is, let's say, more than 10% with quotes, even if it is my own paper, more than 10% of quotes of my own paper, without making reference to that, it is disqualified. So please, I think that I made the case. So the second question is, okay, now we know that, how are we going to refer, this is why we are called references or bibliography, rightly to the sources that we have investigated and we have borrowed materials from. And there are three styles, this Chicago style, this Harvard style, and Vancouver style. Different magazines and different scientific journals, they are using different one of these three. This is more, Vancouver style is more oriented towards medicine and natural sciences, and also partly within technology, while Harvard style is mainly within social sciences, but also technology and some of the journals in natural sciences. So that minds the difference. This is Chicago style, which is probably more heavy within the Romaniora, human sciences. Come on, it's not human sciences, Humaniora. I will come back to that. You understand? Everybody understands what I'm saying, yeah?
The English term is humanities.
Humanities, thank you very much, Sandra. Humanities, obviously. Humanities. Not humaniora, but humanities. The Harvard style is that one. Oh, yeah, and I would absolutely advise you that you follow Harvard style, as it does that. Yeah, to make our life easier. We agree? Harvard style, eh? Let's agree upon that. And I know that Halvor also, if he hasn't if he hasn't mentioned that, then I'm going to talk to him so that we agree that everybody within our masters using Harvard style. And now the Harvard style is that one. The reason that you see that in Norwegian, please take that as an example. If you use that as a search term in SIDA, you are going to get immediately into some examples and also some more explanation of how are you going to use Harvard. I mean, it's not the point to use too much time here to discuss all the details. The only thing I would like to mention to you, I mean, some general terms. When this is a typical, when you know that a reference is coming from a journal and not from a book, when you know that. Well, here you see immediately that this is a book or a report or a non-journal reference. Why? Someone from you? Why? Yes, it is the italics, and the title is in the italics. Exactly. The title is in italics, and then, of course, also you have Tapir Academics for Lab, so you will know immediately that this is a book. But even, yes, please.
Also, one of the differences is that when you're citing from a book, you really use a page reference, but in a journal, you're usually referencing the
pages, yes. There are some few exceptions. Of course, there are all rules. They do not only have exceptions, but also some adjustments. You can do something more, but not less. This is the minimum. By the way, sometimes it is important to refer to, let's say that we have our book, Practical Researcher. Sometimes it is important to refer to, this is in chapter 4, and it's no fault to do this reference. Please.
And also, when you're using citations, it's very practical to actually refer to the page where you find the citation.
So it is possible to do that, it's not necessary. But for journals, it is absolutely necessary. PP, if it is several pages, P point, only one page. Huh? You understand what I mean with PP, huh? P, pages instead of page. Yeah. Okay, and and this is also something which is, of course, also a little bit important. This is the DOI reference, which is becoming more and more common. The more open access sources we have, the more common this kind of references become. But of course, this again refers to the whole point, to a journal. And by the way, you know that these are the PPs, the pages, reference. I mean, this article is from page 305 to 312, and it is on the issue 36. Yeah. If you have any questions, this is not a very important part. This is, the really basics, but we have to mention them from a certain point of view. Okay. Now.
Yes, please.
We shall use the Harvard
style. Yes. And in here you find just three examples that I randomly I chose from a very long list of examples. While in INSIDA you can find many more examples, and I'm sure that you're going to find exactly the question answer to the question that you have, and also some other more general descriptions about Harvard style. And you know, you adopt that, you have it for the rest of your life. Whatever you write, you can use that. You don't think about that anymore. It's your Handwerk, isn't it?
I got a question about the essay we have to write until Sunday. So, since the essay is based on the book, or based on the knowledge of the book from Adnan Bjerke, is it fair to mention that in the introduction, to say that this following essay is based on the knowledge we excerpted from that?
Yes.
And therefore be done with it? Or, and then of course reference it? Why do we have to reference it
yes.
every time again?
This is exactly why I took that this issue now, and I didn't wait for the library, for our library staff to provide it a more, even more, let's say, more detailed presentation of that. It's exactly because you need it now in your first assignment. My recommendation here is that you, in the first time you need to make reference to your book, to the book, or to one of the two, doesn't matter, then you just cite it, and then there is a very nice way of reciting it again. Ibid, page, or pages. Huh? So you cite it once, and if there are, if there is a need, and then you have it by citing, I mean, this is something I forgot I mentioned, in your text, when you write your text and you want to make the reference in your text, obviously you need to do that, then you write Abner, and you know this, and Bjerke, the year. And if you want, page, if you want that, because this is a book, remember. So this is optional. But I would recommend that if it's something specific that you are referring to, the reader cannot go through the entire book. So you help the reader in order to do that. It's not mandatory, though. On the other hand, as it is with the papers. And then as you've done that first time, then the second time, I mean, as soon as you are only continuously referring to the same book, in your second reference, third reference, you are just writing Ibid, page, and so on.
Ibid.
Yes. Ibid. Yeah. As above in it Latin. And of course, if there is another reference that is coming here, you cannot write Ibid, because then you are creating some. So you need to refer once again the book, please.
Ibid, that's only allowed when it's straight after, right?
It's straight after. Yes.
Reference.
Yes, the same reference.
Yeah.
So this is exactly what I'm saying now. If you send it, then Ibid, and then this is your footnote. If you are using footnotes, I have to remind you, if you are using footnotes, if you don't use footnotes, then it is enough that in the text you are using the same reference all the time, only you change your page. If you choose to make references in your footnotes, so that you help the reader about that, then you have to write Ibid. If not, if you do not use, let's say, if you do not use at all footnotes or endnotes, not endnotes the program, but endnotes the endnotes. So it is enough that you all the time you are referring to that in different pages. But somehow you have to choose that. Huh? Yes?
So question. Just reading from the people at APA who actually made the Harvard style, they actually say that the Harvard style doesn't use the Ibid command.
Yeah.
They use some kind of shortened citation instead
yes.
of...
Yes, yes.
Should we just kind of look away from that fact and still use...
If you use footnote, you can almost... It is counterproductive to write all the time in the footnote as well. So the easiest for you, I would recommend, I mean, how many times are you going to cite the book? Let's say 10 times? Okay, it doesn't cost to use that in the text, and you're finished with that. Again, there are some variations that we are not talking about, you know, details of details. No one will hunt you for that. But this must, it is, the important thing is that you do not cite anything without really make that explicitly in the text. This is the most important thing. We are supposed to check you about that. Huh? We have large databases that all of what you are presenting, you are sending to us, they go through these databases and they are checked of whether they are, and we do that with everything. Remember that. And this is not only you, also the journals are doing the same. Any question? Shall we go? Yes, Sender?
Just a small comment. Everyone who hasn't done it already, go to INSEA and download EndNote. It makes everything much easier and it's a very practical thing
yeah.
to use when writing.
Look, I am on the old school. I want to have 100% control with my references, but this takes 10 times more work compared to if you have EndNote, and then you decide EndNote, it's, now I'm talking the program and not the EndNote. Yeah? The program EndNote is fantastic in that sense. Then you can have 10,000 references. You can choose 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, these, I want to have these in my reference list. Perfect, and automatically created. If you want to write a book, we have now with Halvor a book which is about sustainable manufacturing, by the way. This is not a reclam. Please don't buy that. but the point is that then I think we have something like 200 references, and obviously it takes 2 days to fix that. Huh? I prefer that. I prefer to work with it, but I mean, come on, for you, you're going to write so many papers, and now these 2 years, use and not. Are we, and obviously you have done that. A small reminder for us. I have to check what's the time. The time is 47. I would like to, let me come back with the issue of validity. And I would like to introduce you with the issue of research methodology first, and then jump to case studies, and then I provide you a small exercise that hopefully it will be fun for you to work for the next hour. I mentioned that to move for just 1 hour. But look, remember, first of all, there are one of the, this is taken from directly from the book, the practical research. And the idea is that somehow we have to have a kind of typology of the method. We're talking about methods, that we are going to use in our research methodology and methodologies. Hans Christian gets quite in depth into the issue, what is a methodology and how we can understand methodology from a philosophical point of view. But we need to have also a practical understanding of what we're talking about, the methodology, what kind of methodology actually we're talking about. And there are plenty of, and there are many combinations of. So the first thing is that I would like to mention is somehow you have to decide whether you have a mono method or a multiple methods. And this depends, of course, of, as we discussed from the very, very beginning of this course, some of the choices must be methodological and also research question driven. Some of the choices must be on the practical level. I mean, if you cannot do a research that requires 10 people alone, you cannot do that. You cannot do a research requiring 10 million euros with 1 million kron. This is what I'm talking about. So
So somehow you have to justify the choice of your method and the choice, of course, of your research question, first of all, on the basis of the choice of your research question, first of all, but also on the basis of what it is possible for you to do. Which means also that if you want to follow a mono method, it's perfectly right. And by mono method, just to be concrete, is or quantitative or qualitative. You can either choose interview approach or case study approach within the same category of qualitative research. You can either use secondary data or, let's say, interview and survey, not both. You have to be very specific. There are plenty of papers, plenty of papers. The whole majority of all papers that are out there, they are using only that. I mean, only one methodological approach, only one. Because this is the paper, this is the whole idea. The books is a different story. But very often, the whole issue with writing a paper is that you are trying to find one point and you are going to publish about that point. Please remember that. Research paper is, in its finality actually, the concentration of the whole discussion to one point. Think about Zen practice or something. So think about the meditation. It is exactly what you're trying to do in the research paper. You think only one thing and you're concluding about this one thing. You are concluding. You are not think, you conclude. So, and this is why, and of course this is often easier to do with a mono method, one method, than multiple methods. But as soon as we are then in the multiple methods, there are time, let's say, many of the real life investigations, such as, for instance, evaluations of, I have a very concrete example. We talked about the research system earlier, the Norwegian research system and the European research system. Do you remember that, isn't it? Okay, let's say now that we have identified 30 projects funded by the Research Council of Norway within the sustainable manufacturing that we think, we believe that they evolve about revolve about the theme of sustainable manufacturing. And we want to evaluate that. How are you going to do that? Of course, again, the question is what kind of resources you have. But if it is possible, then you would like to include both a qualitative approach and a quantitative approach. I don't want to go into the very details of the evaluation. The question is, of course, what the evaluation is about. Is the evaluation about the impacts? These, again, research question, I remember how important this is. Or is it evaluation about the implementation of the project? Did the project went well, no frictions between the members of the project, the ones that participate. If it is about impact, then you need to have a huge methodology. One important example, I would urge you, now that I am away, I would urge you, to go into the Research Council of Norway pages and check a huge evaluation exercise of one quite important program, very important program for us, sustainable manufacturing people, which is called BIA. Then, Bruker-oriented innovation program projects. This is a program which is open for the participation from, you know, there is, allow me to use two minutes about that. In general, there are many rules prohibiting a state to fund businesses, individual businesses. This is the so-called state aid regulations. It is, to begin with, not allowed for a state to fund any company. And this is for
general reasons that reside in the agreements that are signed between all the states, and this is called, among others, is the trade agreements. You are not going to treat unfairly one company in one state or in one country for having public-driven backing compared to other companies in the US or other places. But they do not have that. This is the main idea. There are some exceptions, though, and these are the two main exceptions. The two main exceptions, probably also exclusively the main exceptions. Now it becomes also the area of manufacturing to be one of these areas, allowed to provide some more help to the companies in the infrastructure area. That's the only. It's research, and we said R&D. Remember this, R&D, and some innovation type of project. Okay. Thank you for this divergent detour, we can call it. Now, if you go then to the BIA, you will find the evaluation, how this evaluation has been done. There are quite many. I think it's we're talking about 500 to 600 million crowns, which means then roughly 60 million euros per year. Over a very, very long time period. So it's a substantial amount of money. Not huge, but substantial. And the one of the reasons, and here you can then see the complexity of the issue. What kind of evaluation we're talking about? Whether the participants were satisfied, whether the project reached the goals, about the impact. How are we going to do to study the impact? I mean, how this project had an impact in the individual companies? Well, this, if you are interested in this question, then you will be going to find the answer there. Because they have done all of it. They've done a survey, interviews, they interviewed the strategic level, which means, of course, the level of the research question on Norway and of the policymakers that we discussed earlier, if you remember. You remember, I hope that you remember this, the chart I saw you on three layers, the people that are doing the policy, the people that are doing the administration, the people that are doing the research. Well, they interviewed all these three layers and they tried to find out what are the possible implications, which is a mono theme. Of course, if it was only that. But the point is that this evaluation is a combination of several methods. While the guys that have done the research, they focus only one. So there are multiple methodologies involved in evaluating BIA, while each one of the research teams that did the evaluation almost followed a mono method. And of course, this is something that it can be done also by one individual project team as well, isn't it? So, and the question is that what we mean about multi-method and mixed methods. We are going to come back on these the details, but the main issue here is that you have both multi-method on quantitative studies and multi-method qualitative studies, while mixed method is, of course, both. I mean, the issue is that here you have multiple methods within one area, either quantitative or qualitative, while here you have mixed methods. And there is also one more thing that I would like to mention here, that many of these mixed methods, methodologies, is also about experimental and quasi-experimental designs. So this is a completely other book, fascinating book, interesting, describing the experiment as a methodology, which is a little bit far-fetched for us to go into detail, but it is a very important part of the book. There is a whole chapter dedicated to how are you going to develop experiments. The front of the research today is not in the areas where we are going to dwell, like the elementary and the a little bit more advanced statistical analysis. It is on the design level. It is exactly on how we are going to do the experiments that you want in order to check, to find out, I mean, to do the research that you want to do. And often these are categorized
these experiments are categorized under mixed methods.
The whole point is that for design an experiment, this it is more and more usual. It is more and more the preferable method.